And welcome to our live stream Bible prophecy update. I shared this on Thursday night. I got to share it again today because at the end of last Sunday's update, I said, thank you, aloha. And I didn't really enunciate and carry it out long enough. And there were many who thought that I said, thank you, Allah. Please know that I would never say that or do that. Aloha in Hawaii is a greeting. It's also a farewell. It actually literally means give breath or give life. Aloha. Also, I want to clear up something else because this was an issue a while back. I have to address my hand signals. I'm very careful with because I use my hands a lot. It is a custom in my country. That's my story. I'm sticking with it. But in Hawaii, this is shaka. It is not the sign of the devil. We actually had somebody comment on one of our YouTube videos, why is Pastor JD making the hand sign of the devil? It is not the hand sign of the devil. It is shaka, which in Hawaii means, how's it, brah? Translated, how is it going, brother? That's what shaka means. So if you see me do this, you'll know that. And also, if I say aloha, I will make sure to say aloha so it's very clear and there's no mistaking it for Allah. All right. Today, I want to take and tackle some of the questions being asked about this coronavirus crisis, and I'm hoping that providing biblical answers concerning this global crisis will encourage you and be of help to you, especially those that may be given over to fear and despair. Certainly, this is taking quite an emotional toll, particularly on those who are dealing with a physical illness, even more so, those who are dealing with mental illness as well. And if that's you, I want to remind you and just very calmly and lovingly say to you that the promise to you in God's word from the Savior himself is that Jesus will always be with you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will never abandon you. Lo, he will be with you till the ends of the earth, the end of the world, if you prefer. For those who are fearful, and I know many are, I really want to encourage you. I know that there is a possibility that prior to the rapture that things could get worse. And certainly when I stand up here and talk about the agenda, the global agenda, and this global governance, that it can really set off a lot of alarm bells, and especially for those who are prone to become fearful. And I want to encourage you with what Isaiah 54:17 says. It says, no weapon forged against us can ever prevail over us. In other words, if there is this agenda, God is still on the throne. And no weapon, no agenda, no anything could ever prevail against us. Romans 8 maybe would be another reference, and I would really encourage you to spend some time in the entirety of that chapter. It is a reassurance, a much-needed reminder that there is nothing, no thing, no angel, nor principality, nor height, nor depth, nor anything created could ever separate you from the love that God has for you. There's no reason to be afraid. Psalm 91 is, bar none, the best psalm, a go-to psalm for anyone who might be experiencing fear and anxiety, even paranoia. In verse 4, Psalm 91, it says that God will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. Rampart's not really a word we use much in our day. It really carries with it the idea of a barricade, a barrier, a wall of protection, and God will be your barrier, your barricade, your wall of protection, your shield of protection, and you have nothing to fear. Verse 5 says, you will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. We have absolutely nothing to fear. 1 minute spent in anxiety and fear is 1 minute wasted. We have nothing to fear. God is still on the throne. He's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. One more thing before we get started. I know many of you who are watching this may have already lost your job, your source of income. As a business owner, maybe you are about to lose your business or already have. And of course, fear sets in. And I just want to encourage you on the authority of God's word and God's promise to you and God's love for you. He will see you through. He will provide for your every need. One of the darkest times in my life was in the year 2006 when our daughter Noelle died. And at that time, we had just started this church, actually, and the medical bills were piling up. And I'm just looking at this thing saying, Lord, what am I going to do? And there were times when I would go out to the mailbox, and there would be in that mailbox a money order, an anonymous gift, and it would be in the amount of the medical bill that I also had in my hand. God provided in miraculous ways, unknown to me, from an unseen treasury of sorts. And in God's economy, it is an inexhaustible treasury. Let me just encourage you this way. I believe that God is bringing you to the place where he can reveal himself to you in ways that he could have never otherwise revealed himself to you. He's going to provide for you in ways that you've never imagined, and when he does it, it will be exceedingly abundantly above and beyond anything you could have ever thought or imagined. You wait, you'll see. Psalm 27, verses 13 and 14, you might want to look that up as well. Let's get started. This first question that I want to address has to do with my reference last week to the prophetic parallels with the Exodus plagues in Egypt and the judgments of God in Revelation. We actually put on our website under the archive tab, and I think it's handout note resource. It was actually a study, ironically enough, on September 11th of 2008, so 12 years ago now, almost. And it is a PDF file that you can download. But I want to, because next Sunday is Resurrection Sunday, I'm planning, Lord willing, and I highlight Lord willing, to do a teaching concerning the prophetic significance of Passover, as we also partake of communion together and celebrate Christ's resurrection. So for next Sunday, it'll be 9 a.m. Hawaii Standard Time. You might want to have the grape juice and the bread, the unleavened bread without yeast as well. And you can make plans to partake together online with us. And by the way, let me just also say, I really miss you. Our local church has now become our online church as well. And I tell you, it's really been kind of sad, actually, to come to this beautiful church building that God gave us and have you not be here. I know for me, I truly miss the fellowship with you, but God. So let's go to the second question, which we actually addressed at our Thursday night Bible study, and it was the question about whether or not our lives would ever return to normal. I want to refer you to that video. It's on YouTube and then also on our website. It was a teaching out of Matthew 24 and Luke 17, where Jesus is answering really a question that the disciples asked him about what the signs of the end would be and his return, the coming of his of the end of the age and his return. And so Jesus answers that question, but then he goes on to describe this scenario that seems like it's business as usual, where people are buying and selling and building and planting and marrying and giving in marriage up until the time that Noah entered the ark. As it was in the days of Noah, so would it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. And that certainly describes a scenario where it's life as usual, business as usual, and that if it has to be business as usual, well, then that means that the rapture can't happen. So what we did Thursday night was we revisited those two passages, and in so doing, we did so with the understanding that this is not speaking about the rapture, it is speaking about the second coming. So I'll again refer you to that video and that teaching. And I would also encourage you to be a Berean, as we're told in Acts 17:4. They were more noble than the Thessalonians, such that they searched the scriptures daily to see if what they were being taught was true. And so I would certainly encourage you to do that as well. All right. This brings us to and ties in with question number three, which has to do with ID 2020 by way of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation developing a coronavirus vaccine that comes with a tracking and tracing device in the form of a tattoo. You might be surprised to know that on October 18th of last year, 5 months ago, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, along with Johns Hopkins University and the World Economic Forum, hosted Event 201 in, of all places, New York City. What's Event 201? Well, Event 201 was a high-level pandemic exercise simulating a global pandemic, modeling what they called, and I quote, a fictional coronavirus, close quote. This was in New York back in October, 5 months ago. Now, this begs the question of whether or not this is leading to a global government and with it a global economy vis-a-vis a vaccine containing a microchip for tracking and identifying. If it does, then the next question becomes one of, will said ID 2020 vaccine and microchip be that which is forced on everyone, as we're told in Revelation, which I want to read here in a moment. If it is, then let me hasten to say that if you're a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, you're not going to be here for this when it's mandated, when it's forced. And this because the rapture of the church of Jesus Christ absolutely has to happen before the seven-year tribulation. If you were to ask me today if I thought that this is where it's heading, my answer would be, it's sure starting to look like it is. And if you'll indulge me, I'll explain why. On March 18th, Forbes published an article about how Bill Gates called for a national tracking system for the coronavirus. This was on Reddit during an AMA, which is Ask Me Anything forum. And this particular forum with Bill Gates was on the COVID-19 coronavirus pandemic. Gates called for a national tracking system similar to South Korea, saying that in Seattle, the University of Washington is providing thousands of tests per day, but no one is connected to a national tracking system. That's the problem. And that whenever there is a positive test, it should be seen, tracked, in order to understand where the disease is and whether we need to strengthen the social distancing. Listen, nothing as of now is off the table. We are in a place globally that we have never been before. Last Thursday, the Washington Times published this op-ed titled, Bill Gates and His Coronavirus Conflicts of Interest. In it they say, and I'm quoting, Bill Gates just called, listen, for a complete and utter shutdown and quarantining of the entire American nation, saying the spottiness of some states doing it and some states not has put all in coronavirus jeopardy. Quoting Gates, despite urging from public health experts, some states and counties haven't shut down completely. In some states, beaches are still open. Kailua Beach is not open, by the way. Just for those of you who want to know, we ride our bikes, my daughter and I, every morning, and they've got it blockaded. And I guess you can find some access somewhere else and still get into the water, but our parks, our Kailua Beach Park, our beach parks are shut down. So he says that in some states, beaches are still open. In others, restaurants still serve sit-down meals. I'd like to know where I'd like to go out to eat again one of these days. So this is a recipe, still quoting Gates, this is a recipe for disaster because people can travel freely across state lines, so can the virus. The country's leaders need to be clear. Shut down anywhere means shut down everywhere. Until the case numbers start to go down across America, which could take, and this is the question everybody's asking, how long is this going to go on? He says, Gates, it could take 10 weeks or more. No one can continue business as usual or relax the shutdown. Wow. Well, it gets worse. If this weren't bad enough, on Thursday, Bill Gates was interviewed on CBS This Morning saying, and I quote, what does opening up look like? In other words, what does going back to our lives look like? He says this, quote, which activities like schools and which activities like mass gatherings, i.e. church, in a certain sense, may be more optional until you're widely vaccinated. Those may not come back at all. Close quote. Wow, that's pretty ominous. Wow, Pastor, you're really depressing me. I was hoping, and you even told us you had a message of encouragement and hope, and I do. Just bear with me. Let's get back to our question of, is this what ultimately leads to a global government and a global economy where everyone has to be traced and tracked and vaccinated in order to go back to daily life and buy and sell? While we don't know for sure if this is it, it very well could be by virtue of the global agenda, which has been very clear in no uncertain terms, that you never want to let a crisis go to waste. In other words, this is a perfect opportunity to implement a vaccine with a digital ID before people are allowed back to daily life. Revelation chapter 13. I want to read verses 16 through 18, and as I do, listen and follow along through the lens of what I just quoted. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark. And by the way, in the original language, it can also be translated a tattoo, a mark, on their right hand or on their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom, verse 18. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. Okay. The fourth and final question I want to answer is this. What if this does not lead to what you're suggesting it's going to lead to, namely the rapture of the church first, the seven-year tribulation second, and then at the end of the seven-year tribulation, the second coming of Jesus Christ? What if this is not it? In other words, what if the curve flattens as they're hoping it will and suggesting it might? What if the curve flattens and life returns to a semblance of normalcy and we still have years before the rapture and all of this happens? Well, kindly allow me to answer that this way. I would much rather be ready now and not have it happen than not be ready only to have it happen. Over the last several weeks, as I've watched this unfold, like many of you, it has brought with it a myriad of emotions. Emotions like trepidation and anxiety and excitement. And I've sensed that we have the greatest opportunity in not letting this crisis go to waste for the kingdom. We have the greatest opportunity of our lives to reach the lost for such a time as this. Would you agree? And if you're anything like me, and I suspect that you are, that you've gotten phone calls, text messages, emails that you would not have otherwise received from people you haven't talked to in a very long time. And they're calling you because they're full of fear. and they know that you're a professing Christian and you've shared the Lord with them before, maybe for many, many years. And now this has happened. What a great opportunity. What a great opportunity. Move them closer to Jesus. Who knows that the Lord may not give you the profound privilege of leading them in a prayer to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. You might be watching this right now, and you're still watching this. It's no accident that you are. It's God leading you to this video because now God has your attention. I like how one said it. You'll never know that Jesus is all you need until Jesus is all you have. I mean, the bottom is falling out. And God has brought you to this place. And this is the time. And I want to share with you the gospel, the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ. If I could say this, and you'll forgive the simplicity with which I say this, the only answer to a whole world, to the entire globe, in the midst of this, in a word, is Jesus. Jesus is the only answer. And that's the good news. And let me also just parenthetically say that if there was ever a time that I am so glad that I understand the Word of God and the God of the Word and the sound doctrine of a pre-tribulation rapture, it is now. That is the blessed hope. So now we're looking at all of this happening in the world, and it's not looking good. In fact, it's looking very bad. But God, this is when you turn to Him. Now that He has your attention, turn to Him. Put your trust in Him for the forgiveness of sin. That's the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Jesus saves. What's the gospel? Well, the word gospel means good news. Your debt has been paid. You're free to go. The good news is that your debt was paid when Jesus came and was crucified, went to His death in your stead. He was buried, and then He rose again on the third day, and He's coming back again one day soon, and very soon, I believe. So, how do I get saved then? What do I need to do? Do I need to clean up my act, or do I need to turn over a new leaf? Absolutely not. You come just as you are. It is childlike simple. Jesus said, unless you become like a child with that innocent trust, that heart that trusts, unless you become like that child, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. So for the last couple of years, we've been doing what's known as the ABCs of salvation. It is a very simple, childlike simple explanation of salvation, how to be saved. The A is for admit or acknowledge that you're a sinner, that you've sinned against God and fallen short of His perfect standard of righteousness. By the way, that's what the word sin means. It's an archery term, which means that you fell short, you missed the bullseye. So if you were an archer in that day and you shot your arrow and you missed that bullseye in the center, they would say, you sinned, you missed the mark, you fell short. Romans 3:10 says, there is no one righteous, not even one. And Romans 3:23 tells us why. It's because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23 is really interesting because it packages really the bad news first before the good news, which is a good thing. I like to say it this way. I know it's not proper English. Please don't email me. But the bad news is, the gooder the good news will be. And certainly it is bad news. What is the bad news? Well, the bad news is that because all have sinned, the wages of all sin is death. The wages of sin is death, the death penalty. But here's the good news. The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's the A. Here's the B. The B is for believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord. As Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. Not you might or you could or you should. No, you will be saved. And then the C, lastly, is for call upon the name of the Lord, or as Romans 10, 9 and 10 also says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. And then lastly, Romans 10, 13. This seals the deal. All who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. If you've never called upon the name of the Lord, I implore you today. Today is the day of salvation. Call upon the name of the Lord, believing in your heart, confessing with your mouth, putting your trust in him for the forgiveness of sins. 1 John 1, 9 says, if we are faithful to confess our sins, he is faithful to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. You don't have to clean up your act before you come to the Lord. That's like taking a bath before you take a shower. No, he cleans you from the inside out by the power of the Holy Spirit who indwells you. One last thing. For me, it was 38 years ago that I called upon the Lord and I was saved and never looked back, really. It was a long time ago. I was very young at the time, really young at the time. And don't do the math. 38 years ago, I was four. No, I wasn't. I was 19. So go ahead and do the math now, I guess. But it was so simple, and I needed it to be simple because my lifestyle was such that I had damaged my brain because of all the drugs and the alcohol and the lifestyle I was living. And I heard the gospel just very simply and clearly presented. And I went into my room that night and I basically prayed myself to sleep. And I was so intoxicated, I was so high, not proud of that. But he heard that prayer. He hearkened unto the voice of my cry when I called upon him. I was so intoxicated that my prayer was really... you wouldn't call it much of a prayer. There's no magic prayer. Nothing wrong with repeating after somebody to pray to receive Jesus Christ and the gift that he offers of eternal life. But for me, it was just, it was basically like this. And I even slurred it, Lord, I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. I mean, I literally had the hell H-E double toothpicks, if you prefer, scared out of me and heaven into me. And, you know, the thing is that I would much rather scare somebody into heaven than flatter them into hell. I got to share this. I know I already said it was one last thing. This is the last thing, okay? So I got an email last week from a newspaper that wanted me as the pastor of a church to send them, write a, and I'm not exaggerating, quote, feel good message for Easter. I prefer to call it Resurrection Sunday. And I thought to myself, wait a minute. What do you mean feel good message? Oh, where you basically tell people, hey, everything's going to be okay. We're all in this together. We're going to get through this. What if we're not? What if things are not going to be okay? Oh no, things are going to be good again. Things are going to be great again. I made a comment to someone on the phone recently that I want to make heaven great again. I want to make heaven great again. So I didn't respond. And I didn't even give him really the courtesy of an email saying that I wasn't going to respond. I just thought, I can't. I can't in good conscience before the Lord do this feel good. Let's just have a group. Oh, we can't have a group hug. We have to maintain social distancing. I can't do that because in Ezekiel, I'm warned as a watchman, as a teacher of God's word, as is my privilege to be, that when I see what's coming, I have to sound the alarm, because if I don't, then your blood is on my hands. So I have to sound the alarm. And you know what? Okay, this is the really last thing. I've been sounding the alarm for over 14 years from behind this pulpit. Every week, talking about how soon the Lord's return is. I'm going to say this and then we'll close in prayer. Over the years, I've said the Lord's return is near. And today, I'm saying the Lord's return is here. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you. Lord, I would ask for anybody that might be watching right now live, or after the live stream ends, if they are watching this online or on TV, and they've never called upon you, confessing with their mouth, believing in their heart, putting their trust in you, acknowledging their sin and their need for you as their Savior, I pray that today, right now, they would make the most important decision of their life for eternal life. Lord, this world and the things of this world are passing away, and we're seeing it right before our very eyes. And we know your return is nigh, even at the door. And so, Lord, even so, come quickly, Maranatha. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. Aloha!